Well, good morning, everyone. It's terrific to be together. What a special time it is when God's people can come together and be encouraged and strengthened in our fellowship together and sitting under God's word together. And so we're going to do that. We're going to continue our series on Revelation this morning. We're looking at chapter 15 and 16, and that looks at sort of almost one event overlapped. And so they're sort of the same chunk. And so we're going to be looking at this, but I'm going to primarily go on Revelation 15. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to that, that would be terrific. And as you do that, I'll pray again. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can know you because the Father has revealed you to us. Because we see you, we know the Father. And you speak to us in this, your word. And so please do that now. Please speak to us. Please encourage us. Please give us a clear sense of the Lord Jesus. Please help us to know him more, to know what he has done for us more, to know our future in him more. And please increase our faith, increase our repentance, increase our hope. Please change us, strengthen us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the book of Revelation, chapter 15 and 16. Some of you may know that I play the violin. And when I was going through high school, I played it a lot. And by the time I got to the end of high school, I thought, I'm never going to touch one of these things again. I'm done. So I went to the opposite. I thought, what's the opposite? And so I sort of half and half taught myself to play the drums because that's the opposite, I thought, of the violin. But then I went to Bible college to study to be a minister. And as they do at the beginning of this sort of stuff, they said, do you play a musical instrument? And I paused just long enough for them to go, that's all I need, you're in. So I even answered your question. So I did play the violin. And they said, well, you do now, so come on, you're on the team. And that's really how, after high school, 20 years later, I'd started playing the violin on church bands and college bands and things like that. And never brilliant, but it did cause me to think about the purpose of worship. Because we often think of a worship band as a worship band, but really worship is much bigger than that, isn't it? Well, so worship is all of life. And so it's why I've changed the language here of not saying a service leader, worship leader here, but it's a service leader. We're serving and we're leading here. It's not just about worship in church, though this is vital. What is worship all about? It's very tempting on a music team to make the worship time in song a performance, to actually subtly turn and make it about me or us or our quality. And here in this text, we're reminded of what genuine worship is, because it's not about the music necessarily. It's about all of life. In the book of Acts, it says, in God we live and move and have our being. So we live towards God, we move towards God, we have our being and our identity in God. And that's what worship is all about. And here, as we come to Revelation 15, we see a snippet of what's happening at the very end of time. And it's people's worship that marks them out as the people of God. Not that their worship made them people of God, but their worship demonstrates who they are. And it's all of their life. And so, let's have a look at it. We're going to see a couple of things about these worshipping people. They are victorious and they're concerned for God's glory. Okay, they're victorious and they're concerned for God's glory. Let's have a look at them. Verse 1, I saw in heaven another great and marvellous sign. Now, we've had lots of signs in Revelation. This is the only sign in the whole book that's described as great and marvelous. So the reason why that is so is that John the author wants us to see that this is the big sign. This is the final. This is the great hurrah at the end of all of history. Seven angels with the seven last plagues. Now, when I say plagues, what do you think of? You might be thinking of the Old Testament, of where God's people were enslaved under Pharaoh. They were not allowed to be human, really. They were just used and abused and flogged and are enslaved. And so what John is trying to do here is say to the people who were suffering under a very similar fate that God knows. God knows. As God knew his people in the Old Testament with Pharaoh, so he knows the suffering that the Roman Empire at the end of the first century is causing to God's faithful people. That's what this is all about. He knows. And just have a look at the text there. And it says, because with them, that is the plagues, it says, because with them God's wrath is completed. Now, I want you to go back to in your mind and imagine you are a first century, it's about 90 AD, and you are in the Roman Empire, and you are being told that you must worship the emperor. And if you do not worship the emperor, you will be martyred. That's the reality of this text. That's what's going on here. Now we don't have to deal with that here. But we do have to answer the question, what is it that I need to know so that I might keep on worshipping King Jesus even when things are brutally difficult? And one of the things is that God is just. He says there, because with them God's wrath is completed. So just have a look at the language there, because what John is doing is saying this is so certain that I can talk about it in the past tense. Now, if you were being persecuted and murdered at the end of the first century and you read God's wrath is completed, that is deeply encouraging. It's going to strengthen you to keep on keeping on. It's going to strengthen you to push on and keep worshipping King Jesus. And it's going to help us now, even today, whatever the issue is, which is hard for you to follow Jesus. It's enough for us to go, one day God's wrath will be completed. I'm so certain of that, that I can talk about it in the past tense. It's done. So he's saying, hang in there. Hang in there. I think perhaps one of the hardest places to be Christian is in the school playground, actually. That's where it is hard to follow Jesus. The temptation to pull back and follow the crowd, whether we are at school, at uni, wherever it is, it's very hard. I don't want to be offensive. I'm just going to shy back. But here, we can be strengthened to know I can stand up. I can stand up for King Jesus. I can say I'm going to keep following him. He's the best man that ever lived. Because I know that one day everything's going to be okay. And I know that one day everything that opposes him, everything that opposes his rightful rule and his word will be punished and dealt with. So much so, his wrath will be complete. So be encouraged. If someone's giving you a hard time, be encouraged to keep on keeping on because of this victory. Let's have a look at verse 2. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass glowing with fire, and standing beside the sea were those who had been victorious over the beast and its image, over the number of its name. And so, friends, you've got these people and they're standing around a sea of glass. And as I said in the kids' spot, this is a sign that God has overcome everything that tries to destroy us. And ultimately, that is sin and death. and they've been defeated. So they are standing in the midst of Jesus on a sea of glass. I used to be a competitive rower, and when we were going down to the water, I would look out, and the first thing I would see is whether or not they were what we used to call little white horses on the top of the caps on the waves, because it means the wind is up, and it means it's going to be a shocker. Other times you go in early in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and it's like glass. And you can hear, this is about 30 years ago, you can hear the bubbles of the air going underneath the boat as it glides through this sea of glass. That's the picture of what God is doing with all the chaos in our world. What else is going to do that job? So I was at trivia last night, and I read a quote that the problems of the world will be solved by education. Education is vitally important. Is it going to do this? No. Or maybe our politicians? No. Jesus brings about the victory, and the sea of glass is with fire. So it says that there is a salvation and a judgment. That yes, God is going to bring everything okay one day, but it's also going to be a judgment. I read an article of someone just this week who was devastated because someone who had harmed them had taken their life before they went to court. And this person said they've escaped justice. But they haven't escaped justice. Maybe in this world, there's one day justice will happen. And here there are people who are victorious, and they stand victorious in this space. How is it that they show themselves to be victorious? Well, I want to do a couple of things here. I want to describe them, and then I want to show where their victory comes from. So they've been victorious over the beast and its image. The beast, do you remember the beast from a couple of weeks ago? What does it mean? It is the Roman Empire's, like, a prefect who works locally to bring about the will of the Roman Empire. So this guy was around, the emperor, and some sort of underling, and he's persecuting anyone that calls on the name of Jesus. But these guys have overcome him. And they've overcome its image. Now, what's the image? There was a 5-metre tall statue of King Nero. And so they were called to worship that. King Nero, the one, as well as Domitian, who were causing this horrendous persecution. And they are worshipping. They hold harps given to them by God. And they have overcome, just above that, the number of its name. The number 666 just means a person who thinks they are God. The Roman emperor expected to be worshipped. He thought he was God. And so they have overcome the political system. They've overcome even the economic system we read elsewhere. They've overcome everything because they are victorious in the Lord Jesus. Now, friends, take a break for a moment and flick back in your Bibles just a couple of pages to chapter 2, because this idea of victory is vitally important in this book of Revelation. In chapter 2, Jesus writes to the church in Ephesus, and he says this in verse number 7. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, same word, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. If you go down a bit to verse 11, it says the same thing. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. And then over again in verse 17, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. And you think, okay, victorious, victorious, victorious. How do you get victorious? Turn over to chapter 3, verse 21. This is how we are victorious. It is not by pulling up your bootstraps, toughening up and standing up. It's not by that. Okay, chapter 3, verse 21. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Just sit on that for a bit. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus is victorious. He died and rose again, and we are in him. And because he is victorious and we are in him, we too have died and rise, and we sit with him on his throne. So we are victorious because we trust Jesus who died and rose. And if that's you this morning, you can know that one day everything's going to be okay. Because Jesus died, your sins are forgiven. Because Jesus died, death has been defeated. Because he rose again, he shows you your future. You are victorious. That's how we do it. Trusting the one that we are united with. And so as we come back to verse 15, chapter 15, I'm not victorious because I'm religious. I'm not victorious because I keep the rules, just spend time with my family. I'm not victorious because I. I'm victorious because of Jesus and what he has done. So we trust him. He's defeated the beast, the image, and they are worshipping him. Any worship, therefore, has to be based on the redemption of Christ, his death and resurrection. And that's exactly what happens next. Verse 3, and they sang the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. This little poemy bit's drawn from a number of different places through the Old Testament, but the closest one is after the Red Sea crossing, where God's people have been carried through the Red Sea, saved from Pharaoh, who was oppressing them and making them suffer. So here they're saying, well, I'm going to sing the same song. I'm not victorious because of the Red Sea. I'm victorious because Jesus died for me and rose again. And that's why it says the servant Moses and of the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb. Worship is about the Lamb. Worship is about redemption. Worship is about pointing ourselves and everyone to God and not us. How is that going for you? Because that's what these guys were about. And if there's any reason to pull back, it's going to be the threat of martyrdom. And these guys stuck at it. It's inspirational. And they stuck at it because they knew the Lamb. Great and marvellous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. That is their redemption. That even if they're martyred, nothing's going to happen to them. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Worship and your lives are about Jesus and what he's done. And sticking to that. Finally, the second thing that worship is all about and what these guys were all about is down in verse 8. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. And for us, the wrath of God has already been satisfied. So that's complete for us, even now. We don't need to wait to go to heaven. You can walk straight into the presence of God, even right now, and have a relationship with Him. Because the wrath that should rightly come to me has been satisfied. And so we can have a relationship with Him all for His glory. We just sang about it. For His glory is my good. The more I consider His glory, the more satisfied I will be. The more I live for Him, the more purposeful, peaceful, satisfied, hopeful I will be. Why worship Jesus? Because the victory is in Him. He is holy and righteous. And we are all about His glory. He deserves it. If you've got a rock and you've got a diamond, which one has more value? The diamond. Can I say, well, the diamond's being arrogant because he expects more glory? No, it's just the reality. He is more valuable. So it's not a moral thing. It's just saying he is more valuable. So go to the highest diamond. Go all the way to the best of the best, of the highest of the highest. Of all good, right to the very top, you end up with God. And so we give Him value, glory and honour. And as we do that, we know that we're doing that because of the victory of Christ and the Lamb. And so we are naturally concerned for His glory. So I've got a prayer that I used to put in the front of my, of like an old Bible. And it says this: whatever my idol be, help me tear it from your throne and worship only thee. Whatever my idol be, whatever I'm worshipping that's going to make me feel as if I can control my environment, I can make the sea of glass, I can bring the victory, I can do this. Whatever that idol is, help me tear it from your throne and worship only thee. If these guys can keep at it, because God is, they are in God, and He is sustaining them and keeping them with the promise of what is to come, then surely we too should be people who say, whatever my idol be, help me tear it from your throne and worship only thee. Everything else promises, it will never satisfy. And so let's be people who worship the Lamb, the King, King Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for showing us a bit of the Lord Jesus here. We thank You that whatever is pulling us back, whatever is leading us to disobedience or whatever is leading us to faithlessness, please remind us of the Lord Jesus. Please remind us that our victory is already won at the cross, that sin is paid for. And so help us live for Him, to be people who encourage one another, who strengthen one another, who pray for those people around the world who this is very literally for them, that if they follow Jesus, then that can be a fatal decision. And yet we know that one day all wrongs will be made right. Justice will happen. And so help us press on, knowing that Christ has indeed won. Amen. Friends, we're now going to